All right, welcome back to the Buffalo Brett podcast, and happy Good Friday to you. We are going to do a full 7-round mock draft on the PFF Draft Simulator. I can talk about my preferences for the PFF Draft Simulator if you'd like, but certainly before that, how are you, my good friend?
I am good, sir. I am doing well. I'm very excited for this moment we're about to embark on. Mock draft is always a spectacular time for us because, one, we get to, it is like Apex Mountain for us, for our Madden GM feels and vibes. So now that we actually get to get into it and do a draft like we'd run the team is always a lot of fun. And second, these things are almost never right, which is amazing for the cottage industry of mock drafts, how few of them are actually correct. Like, no one had Houston last year trading back up into the top three to take Will Anderson after they'd already taken CJ Stroud. No one had the Patriots taking Cole Strange a couple years back. These are always the types of things that happen. At the end of the day, teams evaluate this talent on a completely different level than a lot of these mock draft algorithm guys. So it'll be interesting, JJ, to talk about it in that context too.
It's probably less likely anyone could ever prepare a 7-round mock draft with every team, every pick correct, than even the Warren Buffett, you know, $1 million per year for the rest of your life bracket challenge that he does with his company, Berkshire Hathaway. It's I don't want to do the probability right now, but I can tell you it's somewhere worse than the 147 quintillion odds of getting an exact bracket right.
Absolutely. And yet we punish ourselves by going through this exercise year after year, convincing ourselves that we will be right. But again, for me, it adds a fun element to the draft to compare my board to what the Bills and other teams actually do. So JJ, I'm ready to hop into it. So why don't we set the stage here for what we're about to do? So we have PFF's mock draft simulator up. We have all of the settings, save for randomness, which we have queued way down, set to about the middle of each of the intensity bars here. So public versus PFF board, care for positional value, drafting for needs, all set to about the middle of their individual spectrums here. We will be drafting with your Buffalo Bills and our beloved Buffalo Bills here as we go through this exercise. And what we're going to do is when we get to the Bills pick, we are going to let the listeners at home know who is on the board at key positions of need for the Bills. JJ is going to make a pick. I'm going to make a pick. And then together, we're going to try to figure out what Bean is going to do if the board falls in the way that it falls in this particular mock draft. After that, we'll run through our picks one more time just to solidify where we landed, talk a little bit about some of our favorites, some of our not so favorites, and see what it would mean if the Bills draft actually played out in the way that it does on this pod. Sound good, JJ?
Absolutely. And I would say, just to kind of keep us moving along for the purposes of this draft, you are the seated GM. I will have a pick that I'd suggest, but ultimately the decision comes to you. We can do another one down the line where I'm the decider, but today you're the decider, Dan. Oh, you have the bean hat on.
I have the beanie. I've got the beanie.
Yeah, you got the beanie. The bean beanie. You're the ultimate decider.
All right. I've got the bean beanie. I will don said headwear with pride, sir. All right. Let's
get going. All right, and we're going pretty slow so we can watch the first round go. So again, Dan, if you want me to stop the draft and offer a trade to get up somewhere, you let me know.
I will, but I'm going to tell you right now, unless Brian Thomas Jr. falls into the 20s, mm-hmm. I don't know that Bean is trading up in this draft if it sacrifices his ability to add a third round pick. I actually think the Bills, depending on how the board falls, may trade back at either 28, or I think it's very, very likely they end up trading back at 60 for sure.
Yeah, sure. And the way that this has run, Marvin Harrison Jr. went second, Rome Odunze went fourth in terms of the wide receivers, Malik Nabers seventh, and then no other wide receivers until pick 20, where the Steelers took Brian Thomas Jr., who is now off the board.
Yep. And that we've been saying that on the pod, friend, like, that is the spot. Once we get into the 20s, the Buccaneers are in play. The Dolphins, because they really don't seem to care about protecting Tua Tagovailoa with any kind of offensive line help, right, they're in play at that point. And I think the Steelers, after the Deontay Johnson, I think they're in play after that trade, too. I also wouldn't rule out the Cowboys. The Cowboys have a lot of needs, but they really do need to establish a number two next to CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb, he plays in the slot for about 80% to 85% of his snap share, so they really do need a legitimate outside threat there. So those four teams that draft before the Bills, JJ, could all be on the board for a wide receiver. And in that world, I just don't see how Brian Thomas Jr. legitimately falls to the Bills at 28. So then we're starting at what I believe would be the next tier of wide receivers after that, that starts with A.D. Mitchell. And I got to tell you, JJ, I don't know that A.D. Mitchell is getting a first-round grade from the Bills based on what Bean said at the NFL meetings in Orlando this past week.
Fill the listeners in on that bit.
So Bean made a very, very open and I thought funny joke on the Pat McAfee show where he basically said after McAfee was like, so who are you taking at 28? And Bean goes, well, we're taking six wide receivers in the draft this year. We're going to draft a wide receiver in every single round, right? And after everybody had a really good chuckle, he did his thing that Bean is so good at, which it seems like he's being not evasive, but it seems like he's taken the long way to get to an answer. But that is also Bean at his most transparent. And he is basically like, we are BPA. We are going to be best player available at each of our picks, and they really want to get a third round pick back. So to me, trading up only happens depending on how much they covet getting Brian Thomas Jr. should he fall into the 20s, and then sacrificing the possibility of not getting a third round pick. To me, I think the Bills value a quantity of premium picks because I think they want to splash around on the lines a little bit. Offensive and defensive, based on what Bean was sharing at the NFL owners meetings. I don't see them with a first round grade on a wide receiver beyond Brian Thomas Jr. based on how they were talking about some of these guys.
Fair. That's fair. So here we are, Bills Mafia. We are our pick 28. And we have some options on the board here. I will go first. So the number one rated player for with PFS metrics use is Leiatu Latu out of UCLA, edge rusher. And honestly, especially with Brian Thomas Jr. gone, I will presume that the Buffalo Bills have done their due diligence with him at the combine in terms of his medical. He was medically retired and then came back to football. But it just like his pass rush moves, his motor, his athleticism, everything you could possibly want on like a twitchy outside edge pass rusher is there. And his knack for finding the football, all of it. So I'm just going to presume that the Bills have done their due diligence. I'm going to wait on all other kind of needs. And that would be my pick at 28 is Leiatu Latu. If he fell, I think the Bills should run up to the podium. Presuming again that they have a fair amount of confidence that his neck injury is not going to be, he had spinal fusion surgery in the upper part of his neck. That's not going to be something that like ends his career prematurely. How about you, Dan? If you want to, you can see with the board here. We have Latu, Nate Wiggins, CB out of Clemson, Peyton Wilson, A.D. Mitchell, Zach Frazier, the center out of West Virginia, Ladd McConkey, wide receiver, Georgia, T.J. Tampa, CB, Iowa State. There's Braden Fisk, defensive interior, Florida State, who actually fits what I think, you know, with the signings of DaQuan Jones and Austin Jackson. The Buffalo Bills have that one tech, have two layers deep of that one tech with what I believe to be starting a rotational talent. So we may be looking for Ed Oliver backup in the draft.
Yeah, and that would be Fisk for sure. You know, it's interesting, JJ, because if the board falls like this, this is a great board for the Bills to actually trade back on. But there are guys here that I think if they were on the board, they would actually go to take. So scroll back up to the top for me. So positions of need at wide receiver, offensive line, interior, and then I would go tackle, defensive line, interior, then edge in that order, and then secondary needs. Yes, they need a safety, but dude, I think they're looking at another CB too. And sure. I've heard this quite a bit from insiders. They believe that the Bills' top two needs, depending on how the board falls, will be offensive line and cornerback. We've seen TJ Tampa actually mocked to the Bills in this spot by Mel Kiper, the CB out of Iowa State, because he's also got positional versatility to play safety. He may actually end up as a safety, but he can play nickel. He can play on the outside. He's got great athleticism. He is a chess piece that could be great for the Buffalo Bills here. And then JJ on this board, Nate Wiggins is on the board. He is a tall, fast corner and would immediately be the most athletic and fastest player that they have in that secondary. And he's only 21 years of age as well. So the Bills would be getting him early, early on, get them into their system and develop him. For me though, AD Mitchell is sitting here on the board. I have trumpeted AD Mitchell and trumpeted wide receiver in the first round, come hell or high water, ad nauseum. And I would be a coward, sir, and a fraud if I did not follow through on getting Josh Allen the outside downfield threat that he so desperately needs. And AD Mitchell, while his college production didn't always match his traits, has elite field-tilting speed. He is great at the point of catch. He is a mega athlete. The only question about AD Mitchell, JJ, is does he fit in the Bills culture? And, you know, for me, I think the Bills have got to get to a point where they are 7 years into this Bean and McDermott culture building exercise. If your culture is not strong enough to bring in a couple of uber talented guys that might need to grow into your expectations as opposed to already meet your expectations, then I challenge how strong you think your culture is. If your culture cannot take someone that is a raw, supremely talented product like that and mold them in what you need them to be, then I challenge if the culture is as effective as you purport it to be. So all that being said, JJ, I go AD Mitchell out of Texas pick for my pick here in round one.
So my pick would be Laiatu Latu. Your pick would be AD Mitchell. There are five trade possibilities the simulator has thrown at us, ranging in dropping down from 28 to 36 all the way to 75 is the kind of farthest that a team is offering to drop. I would say, you know, just as an aside, with the board as it is, we mentioned Latu, Wiggins, AD Mitchell, Ladd McConkey's on the board, TJ Tampa, Braden Fist, Troy Franklin, Chris Braswell, Ennis Rakestraw, CB out of Missouri, Chop Robinson, the Penn State edge, Darius Robinson, edge out of Missouri. There's probably 10 players on this board that I would consider draftable if Laiatu Latu wasn't poking out for me. I would probably trade down, and it's possible that Bean would too, depending on the board. But we are picking AD Mitchell because you are the ultimate decider. Do you think Bean would do that, or is he going to take Laiatu Latu and go with me?
I think if Latu is on the board here, to your point, the Bills run to make that pick. And I think the Bills would take Latu in an absolute heartbeat. I also would not rule out Nate Wiggins in this particular spot either. Or, and here's a name for you, Bills Mafia, to get familiar with if you're not already, Zach Frazier. There is some debate about whether or not he projects out to be a center-only prospect or has some center guard versatility, but his comp, Bills Mafia, is Creed Humphrey, the one that got away from Bills Mafia. And Zach Frazier's, he's always playing with great vision across all pass rush gaps. He has great lateral movement. He wins great with hand fighting, and he is able to use his frame to really pin guys. He is strong. He is athletic. He is big. He is fast. He absolutely fits the mold of offensive line that Aaron Cromer and Joe Brady are looking to craft. Do not be shocked, and please do not take to the streets in protest if Zach Frazier ends up being a first-round pick for the Buffalo Bills, because he is a dude that projects to be a long-term protector for Josh Allen.
And that, I mean, Jackson Powers Johnson in this simulation is the best interior, probably best interior offensive lineman in the entire draft. And he was taken 26, two picks above the Bills. So if that's the name that comes off the board too, I would not shock me, and I would be happy to pick at 20.
You know, it's interesting. It was interesting. I was reading Matt Miller's notes out of NFL Pro Days, and the buzz on Jackson Powers Johnson, at least according to him, is that folks feel like the media is overrating him a little bit. They think he's a more raw product than a lot of draft nicks in the media, like PFF, are actually leading to. And they've got Graham Barton, who basically has five position versatility out of Duke, way ahead of Jackson Powers Johnson.
Interesting.
So listen, this could be a draft. We've seen how much money these big honking interior guys are going to be. And in today's NFL, while the blind side and protecting the blind side for these QB matters, so does pocket integrity up the middle. When the Bengals beat the Bills, it wasn't because they were getting a huge amount of edge pressure. It's because they were dominating the interior of the pocket and shutting down a lot of escape lanes for Josh Allen, which allowed their edge rushers to get to him. Guys like Kyler Murray, guys like Tua Tagovailoa, even guys like Patrick Mahomes, they suffer when they are pressured up the middle, and there's becoming an increased premium on finding guys that can protect. JJ, here is my bold draft take. Both Graham Barton and Zach Frazier will be first-round picks in this year's draft.
And JPJ will not. Is that your...
Correct.
Or the
correct.
He will not. I think he falls. Okay.
Yeah. I think he falls. Yeah.
So, and it's interesting because in this simulation, the Dolphins took Graham Barton with pick 21. And it's funny that you mentioned Graham Barton because I actually just watched some cut-ups of him versus Jared Verse, the Florida State edge rusher, because they moved Graham Barton to the kind of most important part of the line, left tackle, for his senior season. But he has position flex, as you mentioned, for all five spots. And he was basically erasing Jared Verse on most of those snaps. There's a few where he got beat kind of late with some pursuit stuff, and he had not great quarterback, playing behind him for some of the snaps with Drake May, but not Drake May, whoever the Duke quarterback was. And so it was interesting to see him against elite pass rush talent and really kind of doing a nice job. So I wouldn't be surprised by that at all. We are back up on the board at pick 60. And just to kind of pick off some players that went in the second round, after our pick in the first and in the second round, Laiatu Latu, Chop Robinson, Nate Wiggins, Ennis Rakestraw, two CBs and two edges right after we took A.D. Mitchell, and then additional edge rushers and CBs, as well as Troy Franklin, Roman Wilson out of Michigan, the wide receiver. So a couple of wide receivers have gone. Ladd McConkey went in the middle of the second round. And Xavier Leggett out of South Carolina also went to the Philadelphia Eagles at pick 53. Marshawn Neyland, who we've both talked about out of Western Michigan, and an edge rusher, went. Xavier Worthy went to the Dallas Dallas from Texas. So that might be your person that you were mentioning where they need a second wide receiver. And then there was a run. So Xavier Worthy, Jalen Polk, and Jermaine Burton all went four picks ahead of us, followed by Braylon Trice, the edge rusher out of Washington, went to Houston. So we are on the clock at 60. We have a wide receiver. And what are we looking for here?
Well, and seeing how that board fell, I feel good about having our wide receiver, JJ, because I actually think that could happen on draft day. I think there's a very clear top three, top four wide receivers. And then I think there is a drop off to the second tier, not massive, but enough, I think, to create some clear differentiation between the top guys and the next tier. I think you're very likely to see a second round run on a lot of these wide receivers, Xavier Worthy, Troy Franklin, Ricky Pearsall, who I know is still on the board here for us, Keon Coleman also still on the board. These are guys that could go before the Bills hit pick 60. So the danger to me in trading back, unless they plan on getting an early second round and dropping another third round pick in there as well, is that you could very well be out of some of these X-style wide receivers by the time you get to pick 60. So I feel good about having A.D. Mitchell in pocket. JJ, the next place I want to look is if you could pull up and sort this. I want to look at offensive tackle, please. Yep. Interior offensive line.
All right, so offensive tackle, you have Blake Fisher.
And then can you pull up last one, defensive line, defensive interior?
Interior?
Yep.
Do you want edges?
Yeah, throw edges up there too, but I don't think there's anyone on the board really worth a look right now. Like, yeah, you probably got Grayson Murphy up here from UCLA more than likely, but he's kind of Gabriel Murphy.
Yeah,
he's probably
undersized.
The best. Yeah, he's the best one and way undersized. So scroll back up to the top, JJ.
Yep.
All right. I would in this particular spot. So Tavondre Sweat is on the board. Chris Jenkins, absolute athletic freak from Michigan, also on the board of defensive interior. I'm going to Vondre Sweat here, JJ.
Tell me about him. We've talked a lot about
we've talked a lot about
Mount Sweat.
Yes, yeah. We have talked a lot about the planet that is Tavondre Sweat. And I love the value at 60 here. And I even think on draft day, there is a chance he goes early round three as opposed to late round two. I think a lot of teams are questioning more and more the value of a big one tech or nose tackle that can really only play for two downs. But and that's really what the bill on Sweat is that he because of his size and because of his limited pass rush moves. Well, he's got some, right? He's got a decent swim move and stuff like that. But
pretty good swim.
Yeah,
you wouldn't expect him to have as active hands as he does.
Right, he does. Yeah. His hands are surprisingly active, and he's got great get off and all that kind of stuff. But until he develops more fully, he's basically a rundown only guy. But when you look at how much the Bills like to play nickel, and this year they're talking about playing more man coverage, of course, I'll believe it when I see it. They've been talking about that for 3 years now. Yeah. But when you look at how much the Bills covet being able to stay in their base nickel package, a guy like Sweat really elevates what has not been a great run defense, JJ. And he takes a lot of pressure off those linebackers to fill a lot of those run gaps. Because he's going to take up a couple of them on his own. You know what I mean? And the Bills have never had a guy that can swallow opposing offensive linemen on the interior in the way that Tavondre Sweat would. Is he going to be the guy that breaks through Creed Humphrey and gets to Patrick Mahomes? No.
No.
But he might be the guy that knocks over Creed Humphrey so Matt Milano can get to Patrick
That's
Mahomes, right?
That's exactly right.
In the Bills system and at this value at 60, Tavondre Sweat to me should be the pick if he's on the board. Is there anybody here, JJ, who you would prefer? Because there's guys with chops here.
Yeah. I think so for me, I think that I'm cool with Tavondre Sweat. If that was the pick at 60, I'd be so happy because I've liked him from the start. In terms of him just being like kind of a rare outlier of a sized person who is also exceptionally athletic for that size. I like it. I would probably, you know, pick him myself, but there's one person I would consider who's rated, I think, way lower on the board with PFF than I think he deserves, and that's Dewayne Carter out of Duke. I think that he's going to be, and mostly because he's more of a penetrating style Ed Oliver type, and that's what I think they're looking for, and he will not be there past pick probably 70 or 80, so that might be somebody with the Bills sitting, you know, on 60, and then the next pick is not until 68 picks later at 128. Might be somebody that they reach down for if there's not like an opportunity to trade down. And in this particular iteration, there is not. I'm going to go ahead and put in the draft pick for Tavondre Sweat, but that is a consideration I would make as well. Is Dewayne Carter out?
And I would say on the bean end of things, JJ, I think this is a spot where they would try to trade down if the board fell like this. This is total trade down territory for them.
Because it's a soup of different players that all have that second to third round.
Exactly. And for them, I don't know that any of them would be a priority at 60 for Bean. So JJ, what I want to do here as we approach round three is I want to try to get up to pick 99 at the very least. I know it's at the very, very end of the third round here, but I think there's some value still on the board at this particular point. And if we could, it's a conditional pick that the Rams ended up getting that I think a lot of Bills fans thought we should got. So in a way, JJ, we are correcting history, but also putting ourselves in a position to add what would technically be considered a premium pick because we'd be picking for the third time in the top 100, going for a position of need for the Bills. And I'm going safety here. I want to see the safeties and the DBs generally that are on the board here at the end of round three for the Bills.
I very much feel like Rick from Pawn Stars because you asked for 99. The best I got for you is 100.
That's all right, man. I'll take 100. I'll take 100.
We traded up with the Washington Commanders at a compensatory. It was actually San Francisco's compensatory pick that was supposed to be ours.
Yep. There you go. There you go. Yeah. So let's do CBs and let's do safeties here.
Well, you're in luck, sir, because the CBs and safeties are the top three or four rated people on the total board right now.
Yeah, that's what I like, right? DeDorian Taylor Demerson out of Texas Tech. I know, freaky athlete, real, real good. You got Tyke Smith out of Georgia. And then you've got my guy, JJ, and Cole Bishop, who now, safeties, for those of you listening at home, safeties, their pre-draft rankings run the gamut depending on who you're reading and who you're listening to. Nate Tice, for example, has Malik Mustafa as his top safety in this year's draft, but is 40th ranked player out of his top 100. Cole Bishop is Field Yates' number one ranked safety. Tyler Newbin, who is on the minds of a lot of Bills fans at this point, is a top ranked safety in a lot of big draft boards, including, I think, Mel Kiper's as well. There is so much differentiation and variance, JJ, on who folks think a good safety is going to look like. And oftentimes, it is the hardest position in the draft to actually evaluate. But we trade back up in the top 100, and there's a couple of really good options here. And JJ, I'm looking for positional versatility. And I look at a guy like Cole Bishop, who I've lauded on this particular draft before. And not only can he play safety, but he's got some versatility in the box. He can play center field. He can play nickel. I think he is a great athletic, fast addition to this team. And should the board fall this way, Brandon Bean would be absolutely insane to not draft him. But there's also a guy like Cam Hart, cornerback out of Notre Dame, who's still on the board here as well. Kamal Hayden, cornerback out of Tennessee, who I really like. He had a really great year here in his redshirt senior year for the University of Tennessee. And he put his traits together with some actual college production here as well. But JJ, for me, the pick at this point has to be Cole Bishop. He'll solidify that secondary for years to come. And I think he is a dude who can pretty immediately compete for a starting spot.
Absolutely. No, I picked the same exact player. I don't have any reservations at all. And interesting about where you're talking about on the board, that pick 100, end of the third round, we took, you know, the Bills took Cole Bishop, and then immediately following him, there was a CB and then two safeties. So that's kind of a striking point if you're looking for a safety who could have starting capability. And then the Jets take Tyke Smith in that round too. So in round four, three safeties have gone already.
And again, and
we're at pick 115.
And I think I think this is going to be a draft of runs. And I think you're going to see runs in the second round on wide receiver, and then third heading into fourth round, just because of the variance on these safety rankings, you're going to start to see a run on safeties as well. So if the Bills really do want to prioritize their secondary, I could see them trading back up into round three to take their safety of the future.
Absolutely.
And man, if it's Cole Bishop, oh, get your popcorn ready, Bills Mafia. Right. He's a good one.
All right. We're just watching the round four kind of crawl toward the Bills right now, and Audric Estime is gone.
Oh, that blows. That would have been great if he hung out at 133.
Yep. But here we are at pick 133. That's the one that we have as a compensatory in round four. And on the board, we have a couple of linemen, a couple of CBs, and Braylon Allen are some of our top rated. If it's me, it's Braylon Allen, you know, no matter what. So.
Yep. I know. A future Mike Allstott. Yep. I'll put him in right now for you.
Okay, thank you.
For me, and I think Bean probably goes this way too, I think this is where the Bills start looking at some offensive line depth here in the fourth round. He's got a lot of ammo to play with here. Feasibly, if he does in fact get another third round pick, I think they deal with, by the third round, defensive interior, wide receiver, and secondary safety. I think at this point, the Bills are looking to play around with some beef. And to me, JJ, there's some great options here, but tackle has to be a consideration, especially when you don't know if Spencer Brown's final year of his contract is going to look like. He could have a great year, absolutely price himself out of a deal with the Bills. He could get injured. He could not play well. I mean, it's a wide array of outcomes that there could be, and you can never have enough dudes that can block for Josh Allen. So there's some good ones on the board here. But JJ, I want you to, you know who I'm going for. This is my guy, Christian Jones out of Texas. I think an elite athlete has consistently gotten better throughout the course of his career at Texas. Man, this would make three Texas players that the Bills would have picked. They had a really good team this year, though. But Christian Jones, give me the specs on him. He's like, what is he, 6'6", 321?
Yes, exactly right. 6'6", 321. He's a senior, so he's got a lot of snaps. He has progressed in his – if you're going to look at overall grade, PFF, I know we always give this disclaimer that it's not a perfect science, but I would say it's still a science. And their overall grade for him has increased from 56 to 70 to 75. So he's shown not only competent starting and increasing his abilities and learning, but he has been super, super durable through his college career. And he actually played left tackle and right tackle through his 3 years in college, with 2/3 of his snaps coming at right tackle. And so I think absolutely a player who has both left and right tackle flexibility, but certainly could come in and probably be a reasonable backup for on that right side initially for Spencer Brown, and then potentially replace him again if he leaves. I like the pick. I'd probably take the same.
Oh, would you? Yeah. Well, I've got you for Braylon Allen. So.
Oh, well, I forgot that Braylon Allen was there because I'm only looking at tackles and guards right now. But yeah, Braylon Allen, 100%. Screw Christian Jones. I want my thunder to James Cook. Like,
yeah, I think if the board falls this way, can you scroll down a little bit?
Yep.
Just a tad. I think Javon Foster out of Missouri is the pick that Bean would make.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think
this is their guy.
6'5", 319, like kind of standard tackle size, has excellent kind of pass block and zone blocking grades, and could be their guy. Showed up against some better competition. South Carolina, Georgia, had decent games against Florida, Arkansas, Ohio State. So really could bring it, even though he was from a school that might not have the top competition all the time.
Yeah, I loved Christian Jones' film against Alabama. He had one of his best games of the season there. Yeah. And
they have some good edge rushers too.
Dude, they always do. I mean, and he was playing against elite competition day in and day out, rep in and rep out. But that Alabama game, man, he was excellent. Excellent in that game.
Ultimate decider, Christian Jones for the draft.
It would be Christian Jones for me. I think Bean picks Javon Foster.
Yeah. Okay. I like it. All right. We have a pick coming up in just 3, 2, 1 spots. Pick 144. We are on the clock, sir. All positions are on the board.
All right. So now this feels like a great double dip position for the Bills. So in this spot, I want to look at wide receiver again, if you don't mind, sir.
I can tell you already, Taj Washington is the best one on the board.
But there is one Luke McCaffrey that is also on the board at this point. I like Taj Washington, but remind me, he's like small, right?
He's 5'10".
Like, yeah. He's I don't know.
There's a lot of small, fast slot guys that are on the board at this space. Taj Washington, the other Illinois, Isaiah Williams, a wide receiver. Luke McCaffrey is 6 feet, I believe.
Yeah, he's like an even
6'2". He's 6'2", so he's a little taller.
See, I like the Bills adding a little bit of athleticism and size on the outside. And McCaffrey can do that, and he's a great competitor overall, too. Like, I this is going to sound so, like, draft talky, but his ability to compete at the point of catch, he plays really strong against press man. Like, he's really hard to knock off his route. I really like McCaffrey at this kind of value here, sitting here in round 5. But can you also put some DBs on the board, quarterback
certainly,
specifically?
Yeah.
Because I think the Bills, and again, I think the Bills might actually punt this particular need to like the 6th round. But Kamal Hayden from Tennessee is sitting on the board. What do you think of that kid?
I like Kamal Hayden quite a bit, but I like a different cornerback that popped up on the board a couple ranks down. Kamal Hayden out of Tennessee, I think, will be a fine rotational. Definitely not going to be your CB1 early in his career, but he's 6'1", 197, can represent in the in man and zone, better in zone, not great in run support, not a willing tackler, which is why I don't think he's necessarily a fit for the Bills. But Dwight McGlothern, who I've mentioned on the pod.
Arkansas, yeah.
Arkansas CB, 6'2", 188, and counter to Kamal Hayden, it has a much better run defense grade for his size, and in terms of being willing to come up and kind of be nasty and meet people on the edge and that sort of thing. So that would be my pick. But Nehemiah Pritchett out of Auburn, also worth mentioning, because he's got special teams ability. He has both man and zone capabilities. So there are a few players there. But are you still picking Luke McCaffrey?
I'm picking Luke McCaffrey, but I think McGlovern would be the pick for Bean.
McGlovern would be the pick for me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I think the Bills are looking at CB, right?
Yep.
And I wouldn't rule CB out of round one, but if they don't find anyone in round one, I think it's something that they use some of these day three picks on. Because right. Again, they feel like they can develop guys at this particular position at will. And that has been true for the most part to some extent. Sure. And I wouldn't rule out a post-June 1 trade of Kair Elam too if they ended up using some capital here. All right, so where are we at now? Have you picked?
Pick 160.
Yeah,
I've already picked Luke McCaffrey. We are down to pick 160, Great Decider. And you have four picks remaining, 160, 200, 204, and 248.
So I'm not going to lie. I think after pick 200, we are probably trading 204 and 248 for future late round picks next year.
You think so?
And I think that's what Bean would do as well, because we will have drafted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys at this point. And I don't think 10 guys are making the roster. I don't even think 9 guys are making the roster at this point. I think Bean would likely trade for future draft capital. But who do we got on here? Oh, we got my boy, Malik Mustafa.
Yeah, Malik Mustafa out of Wake Forest is there. The player I like to pick at this point when I do the mock drafts, Joe Milton, the third out of Tennessee. It's not going to happen because the Bills already have 3 QBs on the roster, and that's all they've ever carried into the camp. And so it's so unlikely, especially having just signed their backup for 2 consecutive years. And so I don't think he's coming back, but I love his traits.
Yeah.
Malik Mustafa's there. Zach Zinter, Michigan guard, is on the board. He is a powerful interior offensive lineman. I don't think he's ever going to be this late in the draft available, but
I don't think so either.
No. Same with Kamal Hayden, still there. I don't know why. But yeah, because I think he's probably gone in the third or fourth.
Yeah.
Javon Foster, tackle out of Missouri, is there.
Yeah. I think Foster has gone way before this point too. Miles Murphy is interesting as a potential double dip defensive interior lineman out of North Carolina.
3'10", 6'4".
Yeah.
Standard 3-tech size.
Yep. And we've done a fair amount on the offensive side of the ball here, JJ. I'm tempted to go defense to balance it out.
We still don't have a CB or a safety.
We do. We got Cole Bishop.
Oh, we got Cole Bishop, but we don't have a CB. That's
yeah. And I think at this point, this is where the Bills might splash a little bit. So let's pull up just cornerbacks.
Yep, and just cornerbacks. We still have Kamal Hayden and Dwight McAleather, and we still have Nehemiah Pritchett. MJ Devonshire. We know the Bills love CBs
they
out
love
of Pittsburgh.
Their pit. Oh my
but
god!
But he's probably going to still be there at 200.
I would agree. And I know that you and Bean would have picked McGlothern with our previous pick. Given that he's here on the board, I would absolutely take him with my pick.
Taken.
All right. So let's hit 200.
Do you want to try to get up into the 170s or 80s with the rest of our draft?
I don't think so. No, I mean, we could, but the reality of the situation is I don't know how much value there is here to like pick swapping up this high. But again, it depends on the day of. So there's a couple of guys here that I really like. Steel Chambers. Oh, you clicked on him. Steel Chambers, linebacker.
Yes.
Out of Ohio
State. I have
State.
To every time. I don't care. Like years ago, I don't remember who it was, but the Bills picked like Tank something or other. I was like, you got to take a guy in sixth round or seventh round if he has a cool name.
Absolutely.
Steel Chambers is one of those.
Tank Bigsby. Absolutely. Yeah. Devin Shire's still on the board here at this particular point. Let's see here. Scroll down just a little bit for me, if you wouldn't mind.
And remember that you have another pick four picks away.
Yep. I would go here, JJ, Tanner Bordellini. Absolutely.
Which is such crap. He's going to be gone in the third.
He's not going to be there, right? Yeah. But in this exercise, he is there, and I'm going to take him.
Sure. I would, too. I mean, heck, if he's there, I'd take him.
Absolutely. And for those of you that haven't heard us rave about Bordellini, he is the center for the University of Wisconsin. What is he? He's like 6'4", 3'10", maybe, I want to say.
He is 6'4", 3'10", exactly.
Jeez, look at this. Look at that. Redshirt junior out of the University of Wisconsin has interior position versatility, which we know the Bills will absolutely covet. Some raw athleticism, little bit of a project when it comes to his lateral footwork, but ultimately could project out to be a guy, if the Bills can develop him correctly, could project out to be a guy that is a long-term piece of this offensive line. And JJ, the Bills need to start investing in some of these cheap, cost-controlled prospects, as opposed to constantly going back to the veteran well on the offensive line side of the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's a player I think is going to be gone much higher. A player that might still be out there, pick 200, and is another consideration, is Hunter Norzad out of Penn State. He's 6'3", 315, has, you know, much better run blocking than pass blocking at this point of his game, but is not a great athlete. Probably has an RAS below 5 or below 6 at least. But is, you know, reliable. Has had, you know, snaps at a couple of different positions in college. All the interiors and then both tackles as well. 3 years ago. So,
yep, absolutely. I like that. He's landed at this spot in some of my mocks, and I've taken him. And I've had no regrets whatsoever. All right, so pick 204, JJ, and then pick 248. And at this point for the Bills, keeping these picks as opposed to trading them, you're really talking about grabbing players that now you don't need to compete for as undrafted free agents. So you get to control their draft rights a little bit, you get to bring them in, and it saves you the negotiating phase over other teams at this point. I see you've clicked on our friend Frank Gore Jr. I think he is too tiny and too light to be what we're looking for, but I love the lineage.
Yeah. Yeah. His pops was a good running back for a little bit of time.
Absolutely.
Chase McClellan, 5'11", 212, a little stockier, but not very tall.
Yeah. I think the Bills are going to do something in free agency at running back. The more I think about it.
Well, the longer it goes, the more likely it is. Would say this is the part of a draft where the Bills might be looking for more, just throwing some darts at CBDBs.
Yep.
Trey Taylor, safety at Air Force, AJ Wood, CB at Pittsburgh, Josh Wallace, CB out of Michigan. There's some people, Johnny Dixon, CB out of Penn State, some corners that they might, you know, make a run at. And again, MJ Devonshire again. The Bills coaching staff has a good relationship with the Pitt program and has for years, as we know from Dane Jackson, Damar Hamlin, who else came out of there? Maybe that's just those two.
I think it's just those two. But yeah. I mean, they have like you said, a well-established relationship with that group. JJ, in real life, this could be the Bub Means spot, wide receiver Bub double dip here.
Yeah.
He does not appear on PFF's top 300 for whatever unknown reason. He's not there. I've looked for him.
Searched so many times.
I've searched so many
times. Far and wide.
I think in real life, this could be a Bub Means spot. Absolutely. But here, I would go Devonshire. I think they take the double dip.
Yeah.
I think they take the double dip at CB and just see who they can develop here. And again, defensive line, while important, we have seen amazing defensive lines and better than anything that the Bills could possibly field, fail to get to and bring down Patrick Mahomes. But with that wide receiver core, if you can keep them covered and blanketed for a long enough amount of time, that extends your ability to get to him. And then here, JJ, pick 7. I could honestly see the Bills just taking a linebacker. It's not a pressing, huge pressing need for them, because they've got Dorian Williams. They signed Nicholas Moreau, but I could see them taking a project here, pending what the ultimate long-term health outlook for a guy like Matt Milano is going to be.
So I could
see them taking a project.
May I interest you in two potential fits?
Yes.
We have linebacker out of Mississippi State, Nathaniel Watson.
I like that kid a lot.
He's a Milano-sized guy. Doesn't have quite the athletic profile, but definitely has that kind of smaller linebacker who is a little bit lighter, a little bit better in coverage. Jordan McGee, who's a little bit more of a hammer, 6'3", 250-plus, or 225, rather. So he's a little bit lighter or thinner, but still plays bigger than that. So those are two. I know we've picked kind of what seems like a lot of DBs, but one of my favorite late round guys is still on the board here. Keaton Oladapo out of Oregon State.
I do not know that one.
Oh, Keaton Oladapo.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
He's over 6 feet, over 210. So that's the kind of size that profile that the Bills look for. And the biggest thing for him is that he is a box safety and run defense is his thing. I would not trust him as a deep field kind of, you know, open field, get ball in the back, you know, back of the defensive backfield. But he is definitely the kind of player that can play that positionless, you know, the Poyer role we saw last year in 2023 season, where he came down in the box and was covering tight ends, coming down on, and setting the edge on run plays. That's Keaton Oladapo, Oregon State.
I love it. You're talking me into him. Okay. You're absolutely talking me into him. But already with so many DBs taken and off the board, I think if the board actually fell that way, I could see them going UDFA on that guy. But give me scroll back up to the top if you wouldn't mind. Because I like the kid out of give me the linebacker out of Temple.
Okay, that is Jordan McGee.
Yeah, I like that kid.
Okay.
Yeah.
You'll take Jordan McGee. I would probably take Keaton Oladapo. Just to make sure I had his rights and didn't have to compete with anybody.
Yep. That makes some sense there for sure. So that's it, JJ. What a BS grade did PFF give us? I'm sure it was terrible.
Final grade's a B-, so not terrible. It celebrated the A.D. Mitchell. It panned you for Tavondre Sweat. It panned you for Cole Bishop because the ratings are so low on him.
Yeah, wait till he's an all-pro PFF.
Gave you an A- on Christian Jones' pick, so that was good. Absolutely destroyed you on late Luke McCaffrey. You almost failed the draft with that pick, apparently. Dwight McLeodherin was a B-. Tanner Bordellini, apparently we picked way too high because he was rated 212, and you picked him at pick 200, which is nonsense. MJ Devonshire, you got a very favorable pick for, an A grade, the only A other than A.D. Mitchell in this draft. And then Jordan McGee, linebacker out of Temple, at the end was a B+.
PFF is terrible.
It's arbitrary.
It's so just terrible. JJ, if the draft actually ended up this way and we walk away with A.D. Mitchell, Tavondre Sweat, Cole Bishop, Christian Jones, Luke McCaffrey, McLeodherin, Bordellini, Devonshire, and McGee, dude, that is a haul.
Oh, my gosh.
That's a haul.
Absolutely. I mean, you essentially, I would say from that draft, you get a starting outside receiver, you get a rotational defensive one tech, and you get a probably special package safety and excellent special teams player. You get a swing tackle possible and at least a second stringer on the offensive line. Luke McCaffrey would be a project or, you know, special roles wide receiver, probably also special teams. And then a potential to grow into a starting CB in Dwight McLeodherin. Tanner Bordellini in 2 years will be the team's starting center if he was ever picked by this team.
Absolutely.
And then some flyers on MJ Devonshire, Jordan McGee, players that most likely would make it to the practice squad, could get pilfered by another team, but, you know, worth taking a shot on developmentally.
And listen, I think there's some shenanigans in the latter rounds because we know lots of teams like to trade a six round for a six round because at that point, what does it really matter? So I could see the Bills doing that. They've done a lot of that in the past. And I could see Bean also trading back in the latter rounds too for future draft capital next year as well. But dude, if the draft fell this way to the Bills, I would consider this an absolute win despite what PFF says.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No doubt. No doubt.
No, it's great.
I would have taken Laiatu Latu, though. I would have swung with some of the wide receivers in the second or third because I just think he's going to be special.
I agree. Had we gone with Latu at that particular point, I would have absolutely traded 60 and some future draft capital to see if we could get higher into the second round. Because yeah. I just don't think the profile of wide receiver the Bills need make it to 60. I think we see a run on those tier two wide receivers very, very early on in that second round. And I am scared that the Bills miss out on a guy that they absolutely need and could develop if they sit back and play it that way.
Sure. Absolutely. I could see it too.
Yeah. So no, good stuff though, all the way around. I'm sure I'm going to get roasted for not taking Latu because he's my edge one. Yeah. I think he's going to be great, you know, and the Bills desperately need to bolster that area. That's the one area we didn't pick any edges.
No.
Except you and Latu in round one. We didn't pick a single edge for our beloved Buffalo Bills here. But there's also still some guys in free agency post-draft that I think they're gonna dance with. Yeah.
I will say, too, that after the first 6 to 8 defensive ends in this draft, you're looking at a pretty steep drop-off and a pretty big projection. After maybe stretch it to 10, where you're like, okay, I can reliably trust them for some productivity as a starting rotational edge rusher. After 10, though, I'm like, you're really going to have to convince me that that's a good pick anywhere in the top 3 rounds after the 10 edges that are kind of unilaterally the front.
It's just a lot of, when you get down that deep on the board, it's a lot of undersized guys that are kind of tweeners. I mean, they could
be
a linebacker.
Also aren't elite athletes.
Right.
I think that's the problem, Dan, is like it's people without size and without the elite athletic profile or the exceptional like hand fighting and kind of pass rush moves.
Right. So they're kind of positionless players at that point. They could be a linebacker. They could float to edge. If we played a 3-4, maybe, but we don't do that. We play a four down lineman base nickel scheme. And at that point, you just don't need an undersized edge on your roster. So I don't think, unless the Bills tend to it early, and again, edge could very well be the pick in round one. Round one could be anything from edge to corner to offensive lineman to wide receiver. And I wouldn't rule out interior offensive line if Zach Frazier or Graham Barton falls to that level either, but which I don't ultimately think will happen. But after round one, JJ, I think the Bills, it's business as usual for the Bills. I think the draft becomes a far more predictable after round one for them.
No, I think you're right. I think I would say after round two, because I think that they're going to try to be swinging hard in the first and second round for players that are immediate impact starters, a la, you know, Osiris Torrance and Dalton Kincaid. Yeah. So they have proven this past year that I think that's what they consider a hit in the draft is Dalton Kincaid comes in and he immediately breaks all of the rookie receiving records for the team. And Osiris Torrance comes in and is the only 100% snap player on the offensive line that was probably the best offensive line Josh Allen has had in his entire career. And so I think that that's what they're probably focused on. And whomever they get at positions of need at those two spots is going to determine what I think this team thinks of this draft. Anything else is great.
I agree. I also don't think there is a world where they draft A.D. Mitchell in round one. I sit firmly that after Brian Thomas Jr., they don't have a round one grade on any wide receiver. So pay attention, Bills Mafia, to the first four wide receivers off the board, because if Brian Thomas Jr. is one of them, then, or first five wide receivers, then I believe the Buffalo Bills are going in a completely different direction in round one. Absolutely. But JJ, that was fun. That's also probably, as we have mentioned, a futile exercise because none of this is going to be correct. Nonetheless, it was really fun. And it gives us a chance to talk about a lot of prospects that we haven't had a chance to talk to in any of our other draft previews before. So
for sure.
Just putting more good information out there for Bills Mafia to digest as we approach the April draft. So JJ, fun as always. For those of you listening at home, like, share, and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Google, Apple, Spotify, and as always, go Bills.
Go Bills.